A White House spokesperson said today that the Trump administration is not responsible for the death of a 7-year-old Guatemalan girl who died last week in Border Patrol custody. The girl was detained in a remote part of New Mexico with her father. The government says she died of dehydration and shock. She apparently hadn't eaten or had any water in days. Clara Long is a senior researcher for Human Rights Watch. And Clara, I think a reasonable question today is, how on earth does a 7-year-old child die in federal custody?
Unfortunately, when I saw the news last night that this happened, my heart sank, but I'm not at all surprised. Children are moving through a network of border jails where we and others have documented for years dangerous conditions, including, you know, lack of access to food, to adequate water, and to medical care. And so, the fact that she's entering custody and then having a health crisis 8 hours later without potentially getting attention in that time, unfortunately, just doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, what's supposed to happen when a child comes into custody crossing the border? I would assume someone is supposed to be there making sure that they have food and that they have water, and if there is a medical emergency, that it would be addressed in a timely manner.
Right. A lot of the standards around these things have been set out by a court case called Flores, which we've heard about a lot in recent months because it's also regulated the amount of time that families can be held in custody. And that's something the Trump administration really wants to change. But unfortunately, even if there are these standards, and the standards are actually quite minimal, you know, in terms of extra snacks for children, adequate food, the lawyers in Flores have told the court again and again and again that the Border Patrol does not even abide to those minimal standards.
On Tuesday, the Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Kevin McAleen testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was describing how large groups of families are now crossing the border. Let's listen.
Our infrastructure is incompatible with this reality. Our Border Patrol stations and ports of entry were built to handle mostly male single adults in custody, not families or children.
Is that something that investigators should be looking at? That the government, even though it's supposed to, by law, provide a safe environment for people in their custody, that the government's not able to do that right now?
Absolutely. If those Border Patrol cells are incompatible for the humanitarian reality of the border, then the U.S. should be doing something else. Many of the people who are crossing the southern border are people who are entering the U.S. to seek asylum. And the U.S.'s border control mechanisms treat them essentially all as criminals, including children.
The issue is there's a lot of them. This child came as part of a group of 163 people. So the government does have a challenge on its hand dealing with these large groups of families that are coming across the border, not to absolve them of responsibility, but it's not as if this is an easy problem to solve.
Certainly, it's a challenge. And, you know, there are many countries all over the world that are dealing with large numbers of forced migrants, asylum seekers, and are having to deal with even larger numbers. For example, people fleeing Venezuela right now into Brazil and into Colombia, countries that may have even fewer resources to throw at this challenge. But if other countries are figuring out how to do this in a way that treats families and children and asylum seekers with minimal dignity, then the U.S. can too.
Clara Long is a senior researcher at Human Rights Watch. Clara, thank you very much.
Thank you.